Good morning, everyone. Afternoon. I usually speak in the morning and finish at 12. So now I don't know what time to finish. But praise God, His goodness is running after us. For the past 2 days, I've been having a cough, and I called a few brethren to pray for me, you know. I'm the one who does not like to turn down doing anything for the Lord. So I just hope that the prayers went forth. And I hope that you'll be patient if you hear a cough now and then. If it does happen, then it would be the will of the Lord for it to be so. A message with a little cough. Let us turn to St. Matthew chapter 24, verse 41. St. Matthew 24, verse 41. I would like you to listen to these verses carefully, as I have about two questions for you. So you must listen. St. Matthew 24, verse 41. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. We'll just look at Mark 9, verse 42. Mark 9, verse 42. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. Let us pray. Our gracious God, righteous Heavenly Father, we praise your name. We thank you for today and all that you have in store for us. We thank you for what you have, all your blessings that you have bestowed on us so far. And so, Lord, we pray that you will continue to bless even your word, which go forth now. Bless your word unto our hearts and glorify your name. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We have read two verses. And if you look at those two verses, we notice that there's a common word in both of them, the mill and millstone. They are one and the same. Mill and millstone. So the message today will be about the ancient millstone and its significance. Ancient millstone and its significance. Sometimes when we read the Bible and we meet upon the word mill, if we don't understand what it is, then we may not understand deeply what the verse is saying. On anything that's also related to mill. So I remember as a youth reading the Bible, young Christian, and you know, I meet upon some word, some expression that you don't understand, and then I feel discouraged and stop, you know. But I guess that as we shed light, as the Spirit of God shed light on the word mill, we may get a deeper understanding on all the verses that's related to that. So there are basically two types of mill, the hand mill and the commercial mill. So mill is an essential tool used in ancient agricultural societies, used for crushing, whether it be grains for flour, olives for the oils, or grapes for the juice. But its operation was a common sight in Bible times and is mentioned in the Bible as a symbol of daily life and sustenance. We must make a note of that. So the operation of the mill is a symbol of daily life and sustenance. So I just touched a little on the handmill. So the handmill consists of two stones, a smaller upper stone weighing about 15 pounds, which rotates or rubs back and forth over the lower, larger stone. So this type of mill is typically operated by women, as we read in Matthew 24, verse 41, which says, two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. But the mill of main focus is the commercial mill. That's the one we'll be focusing on. But before we go to that, just make a note that with the hand mill, there are two stones, two large stones, an upper, smaller one, and a lower, larger stone. So the commercial mill is turned by a strong animal, usually a donkey an ox or a camel, as this stone might weigh thousands of pounds or kilograms. And this type of meal is referred to in Mark 9, verse 42, as we read. Mark 9, verse 42. Let's look at that verse. But whoever, Mark 9, verse 42, but whoever causes one of these little ones, just like they are warning the kids, the little ones, to stumble or sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck. So the millstone, it's very heavy. It weighs thousands of pounds or kilograms. So in the commercial mill, the animal, there's the ox, the donkey, the camel. So there's usually a large vat. A large vat. Do you know what a vat is? It's like a giant pot with a rounded bottom. So a giant pot. And this vat symbolizes abundance. So when we read a vat, we read a vat in the Bible, in Proverbs and so on. It symbolizes abundance. Usually large. So the bottom of this vat is rounded. It's not flat like the pot that we know today, flat bottom. It's rounded. Make a note of that. And by the way, we heard about hell. Do you know that hell is a large vat? But it's bottomless. No bottom. That's the thing. Just think about that as we go along. By the way, I was speaking to someone about hell and heaven, and one of them said, "You're making me get scared. You're getting me scared." But I mentioned to him that you can only be scared if you plan to go to hell. But you don't need to be scared. Just there's a way. The Lord God provide a way. Just accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and you don't need to be scared. He provides a way. So placed inside of this vat in an upright position is a huge wheel-shaped stone. Huge wheel-shaped stone. And its circumference, that's the distance around, it fits the contour of the rounded bottom of the vat. Can you picture that? So the vat with a curved bottom and in an upright position is a large stone that fits the shape of the vat. So it fits the shape of the vat to make sure that no grain escaped from the crushing. It fits exactly. And so it is. There'll be no escape for those who go to hell. There is no cool place in hell. The fire fits the contour of that bottomless vat. No escape. But remember, there is a way. In the center of this stone wheel is a large hole into which is fitted one end of a wooden beam. So a wooden beam goes through that hole in the stone. But to the other end of the wooden beam, an animal is hitched. A donkey, a camel, a strong animal is hitched to the other end. And the animal walk in a circle. They turn the beam by walking around. And by walking around, the great stone wheel goes round and round, and the grains are crushed to flour. The grains are crushed to flour. Olives are crushed to release their oils. Grapes are crushed to release their juice. So there's a drain. There's a drain that leads to a lower vat that collects the accumulated flour or liquid, as the case may be. So that's it for the commercial mill. Just to summarize on that, make sure that you remember that there are two vats. One in which crushing is done, and the other for collection. There's also a great stone for crushing. Not just a stone, but a great stone. A strong animal for turning the wooden beam and the material to be crushed. So the sound of grinding mills or grinding was heard throughout villages and towns. The absence of the sound was a symbol of famine and death. Revelation 18 verse 22. Revelation 18 verse 22. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. If you look at the list of all these things, you see that these things show that there is life in the community. Musicians, music playing, people dancing. So when all this stops, oh, that's just doom, sadness. So we realize that that which is essential goes in the mill. And so, my friends, just as how the mill will be taken one day, the sounds of musicians will be taken one day, harpist, so it is, the gospel will be taken one day. The preaching of the gospel will soon be over. Soon be over. So the gospel brings life. And so while the gospel is preached, we make good use of it by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior before it's too late. Because when the gospel is gone, this will be a sign of spiritual death and famine. So those who are playing church will soon find out. Mills were so vital to daily life that the Mosaic Law included specific protection regarding them. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 24 verse 6. It says, no man shall take the lower or the upper mill, the upper millstone in pledge, for he takes one's living in pledge. If you do that, it's like you are committing a murder. Because families depend on the mill. And by the way, I have a question for you. What mill is it referring to here? Can you differentiate between the two mills? Which one of the two mills is it referring to? All right, I didn't hear the answer. But it's the hand mill. And why? We know that it's the hand mill. Because it speaks about a lower and a upper stone. That's what the description of the hand mill. There's a lower and a upper stone. And that's different from the commercial mill. And this mill is usually operated by women. So when you read that in the Bible, and so you understand that it's speaking about the hand mill. So the loss of a millstone could mean disaster for a family. So it is, my friend, the gospel preach. The Holy Spirit is here. When the Holy Spirit takes the church up, what happened? No more Holy Spirit. The loss of the presence of the Holy Spirit would spell disaster for those who are left behind. Disaster. So at this point, it should be quite clear to us that only that which is precious and life-giving goes through the mill. Like the olive for the grape, for the oil, precious oil, the grain for its flour. God the Father made our precious Lord, who knew no sin, to be made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. So God had a deliberate purpose for the suffering servant Jesus Christ. And so he put him through the mill on the cross from a spiritual perspective to bear the sins of the world. Jesus himself bore our sins in his own body on a tree. 1 Peter 2 verse 24. The weight of great millstones is no match for the greater weight of the measure of the sins of the world. Yet, it pleased the Lord to crush him and put him to grief. Isaiah 53 verse 10. And if we look back in verse 5, 53 verse 5, we see that Jesus Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He was broken. Transgression represents our sins. He was crushed for our iniquities, our wickedness. The chastisement of our peace. He was punished by God the Father. He was flogged. But that was done in order to bring about our peace with God. It was laid upon him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And by his stripes, we are healed. His stripes refers to his suffering and death. The suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is equal to the price paid for our sins. And we have been healed, spiritually healed, through the forgiveness of sins brought about by his stripes. I think it's the second hymn we sung today, hymn 147, Man of Sorrow. What a name. For the Son of God, who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Who are ruined sinners? People are messed up with sin. The Lord Jesus Christ came to reclaim ruined sinners. And so the church say, hallelujah, what a savior. One of my favorite hymns is hymn 238. If we look at verse 3, it says, all our sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, the Father, who knew them, laid them on him. And believing, we are free. And believing, we are free. To be forgiven is not a passive event, my friends. One must first acknowledge one's need for forgiveness. So my unsaved friends, confess your sins and receive Jesus Christ by faith. That's the only way. Not by keeping a day holy. Not by any material things on this earth, such as water, as in water baptism. Not by tongues in the language that you speak. No gibberish. Salvation is from God. And all that you are saved by is spiritual, not material things. 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In that verse, there are two remarkable things in there. He is faithful. Our Lord is faithful. So there is no doubt. And then, another important expression there is that, cleanse us from all our sins. No sin is too heavy for the Lord not to cleanse. The Lord Jesus Christ already bore all that weight on the cross when he was placed in that mill to bear the weight. He was crushed for our iniquities. But make a note that there's an unpardonable sin. You know there's an unpardonable sin, which none of us here have committed. Otherwise, we would not have been here. Rejected. You would not have been here worshiping. So that's the sin of rejection of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who God gave us. And if you reject him, you sold out yourself to the devil, rejecting the Holy Spirit, then there is no more remission of sin. There is no other way, nothing else. You doom yourself. So there's a saying that joy comes in the morning. If you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior, and you accept him right now, then this would be your morning. Don't wait until tomorrow, for tomorrow may bring sorrow. May the Lord be with you all. Amen.